T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I want you back.
All right, what do you think? What do you think of this one?
Sound like every other song that you play when you play these songs.
One of these weeks, it's going to hit. Like, it's going to click what you're hearing.
Because that sounds like the whole Backstreet, the Backstreet Boys stuff.
Yeah, the beat drop.
Boy, all right, yeah.
Sounds to me like a darn good song, and one that plays in our next guest, Elliot Shore Parks. First, Elliot's calling, brought to you by Cozy Jewelers.
ESP.
Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how are we doing today?
You know, I think Hugh thinks that they all sound the same because Kyle just kind of shuffles the same five or six.
I did double dip on this one.
Yeah. So when he says
that's what it is,
same, it's because he's playing.
Elliot aired me out.
I'm gonna have to start sending Kyle the deep cuts.
Well, that's
I do need the deep cuts. Yeah. You need the deep cuts. Dude.
Every week. I mean, we have an opportunity every week to play a great song, Elliot. So we need to do that. All right, Elliot, we're excited to chat today because there's a lot after the last couple of days with Howie Roseman speaking, with Nick Sirianni speaking, and, of course, Jeffrey Lurie. Elliot, let's go with the most recent here. What was your biggest takeaway after listening to the State of the Eagles with Jeff Lurie yesterday?
Yeah, with Jeffrey, I think my biggest takeaway was he certainly wanted to paint a picture that the future is bright. You know, all of us talk about the Eagles, pretty much every day since that season has ended, and obviously during the collapse. I don't think I've heard many people use the words like encouraged and excited about the future of this team. And look, they might be wrong, and Jeffrey might be right, but I think Jeffrey wanted to come out and paint that Nick was willing to make changes. Nick knew that things had to change, that Nick is the one that is in control of those changes. Obviously, Lurie had to sign off on any hire because, of course, he's the owner. But, you know, I think this idea that Nick is a puppet of a head coach or that he lost control of the offense, that's something I think they've really been trying to, I don't want to say push back on. I guess maybe that would be the best way to phrase it, but they don't want Nick viewed that way. So with Lurie, it kind of comes down to, like, what do you believe? Do you believe what Lurie is saying? Do you believe the people who think he's a puppet and, you know, he does nothing? I think the truth is the answer is in the middle. But I thought Lurie really wanted to portray that Nick is very much in control here.
But did it make you feel better about the direction that the team was going in? Because I think, like watching that press conference and you know, not having any player outside of the players that we got in free agency, it made me feel more comfortable about where he was talking when he was talking about the direction the team was going in. How did it make you feel?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, whenever I'm at these league events, you always feel better about where the Eagles are at because it's a reminder that the Eagles are operating at a level that just frankly a lot of other teams are not. Like, I know the end of the season was obviously a disappointing collapse, and that could be a red flag heading into next season if they will rebound from that. But I think Jeffrey has established, you know, himself as one of the best owners in the NFL. And during my time covering the team, there's been a lot of inflection points where people have, you know, thought Jeffrey was too involved or how he couldn't do it or, you know, all these times during offseason, there's major questions about if the Eagles will continue to win. And frankly, all they do is continue to win. I mean, they've been in the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years. Obviously, last season, the collapse happened. But I agree with you. Like, whenever Jeffrey talks, you don't have to believe everything he says, and it's his job to paint the glasses half full. But there's no denying that when he talks and when you're around other teams, it stands out that he's a good owner and the Eagles are a well-run team.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, every year when he talks, I'm reminded of that the Eagles are in great hands with Jeff Lurie. But, Elliot, I always think when someone is trying to paint a picture, truth comes through, right? Like maybe a word or a line, it's like, that's it. And yesterday, yep. Elliot, he used a word when describing Sirianni that I thought was really interesting. He used the word manager, managing, and that's a word we associate with baseball. But I think that's what Sirianni is to them. He's the manager. And with that, Elliot, in baseball, the manager really only affects so much, right? Like, the players got to win and lose. The front office puts the team on the field. The manager can make a bad decision here and there. But I don't think, for the most part, teams win and lose in baseball because of the manager. Elliot, I think the Eagles kind of look at Sirianni that way, and it's why I thought it was so interesting when Lurie pointed out the importance of coordinators, almost like they're the most important coaches. This guy is kind of just overseeing everything and doing his managerial duties. What did you make of that comment?
Yeah, so I would say first that just from like what I believe from being there and talking like to Jeffrey, that I think the way you're describing it is diminishing a role that they feel is more important than how you are describing it. Like, I get your point that if Kellen Moore is designing and calling the offense and Vic Fangio is calling and designing the defense and the players are playing, then what does Nick do, right? To go back to that question that he was asked at his season-ending press conference, I just think they view it differently. I think that, and this is what I think Jeffrey wanted to describe yesterday, is that he likes head coaches that manage, to use that word, right? To use what you were saying. He likes head coaches that, you know, oversee the offense, head coaches that talk to the players to set the schedule throughout the week, head coaches that lead the meeting well, head coaches that he feels build a good culture. Like, really what Jeffrey described yesterday, you know, when we've talked about head coaching candidates in the past, and me and you, Joe, have talked through a bunch of head coaching hires with the Eagles, we're always on the same page. Offensive mind that calls plays. I just don't think they view it that way. They want an offensive guy, but Jeffrey, what he, you know, painted was Andy was an offensive guy, but Andy was a manager. Like, you can speak to this. Andy was someone, you know, the players trusted. Andy was someone that knew how to operate and manage the team at a high level. I think Doug did that for a few years before things fell apart. And I think they view Nick that way. Now, Nick was there for the collapse, and I think that's something he just kind of, you know, glossed over a little when talking about, you know, how he built the culture and all those things. But I just don't believe the Eagles view it as a weakness of Sirianni that he can't call plays. I think they're okay with Kellen Moore doing it as long as Nick's managing the team at a high level.
How about the breakfast with Sirianni? What stood out to you? It's the first time we've heard Nick in a little while here, obviously since the combine with Howie and then when he was retained. But what did you make of Sirianni and what he said? I thought some of the stuff about leadership, about Jalen, was kind of interesting there, Elliot.
Yeah, so that was kind of a theme throughout the weekend. When Nick talked, when Howie talked, when Jeffrey talked, it was a lot of, you know, down the stretch, and I'm paraphrasing here, they didn't have the guys in the locker room to rebound from that. I think Jeffrey used the word resiliency. Nick used the word toughness. I think Howie used the word mentality. And I don't completely disagree with them. Like, we all saw it. That team fell apart. And, you know, going into Tampa, obviously, look at the results. They were dead on arrival. Where I would just maybe disagree with them slightly, or at least view it a different way, is I don't think you can build a culture through free agency. Like, I don't think signing Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, will he be helpful with this? Yes, of course. Will Saquon, you know, and he's been talking a lot, and he seems like he's going to be a good leader. He can be a positive. But at the end of the day, your best and most important players, in my opinion, have to be the culture setters and have to be the leaders. And if you look at the Eagles right now, on the offensive side of the ball, the most important player is Hurts. On the defensive side of the ball, the most important player is probably Jalen Carter. And are those two players going to be culture builders? Are they going to be players that are leaders? Are there going to be players that next year, if they get into a bad stretch, will they pull them out of it and show resiliency? So I think the Eagles are aware it's an issue. I'm just wondering if, you know, the moves in free agency is the true solution. I think they're trying to fill a void that's been left by guys they really need to lead on their team already.
You know, we had a mock draft yesterday where we had a mock that we talked about where Brock Bowers was the first overall pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. Haven't had a chance to talk to you about this yet, Elliot. What do you think about Brock Bowers being the first Eagles' first draft pick?
Yeah, I don't think I would like it. Like, they already have a really good slash elite tight end in Dallas Goedert. I don't need to, in the first round, you know, the offensive line, I'm sure that's something we'll get into over the next few weeks. Like, maybe I see that point. You develop a tackle, it's a critical position. Dallas Goedert's already one of the best tight ends in the league. I don't want this team running a ton of, like, two tight ends. They already have a ton of great pass catchers. If they're going to trade Dallas Goedert, which I think would be a mistake, but if that's the route they take, they replace him with Brock Bowers, that's different. I know they did it with Goddard when Ertz was here, but I just, you know, I don't think that would be a good use of a resource. So Brock Bowers, good player, obviously. You know, if they didn't have a tight end, it would make sense. But I would not draft someone that's going to be fighting for playing time with a really good player right off the bat.
Elliot, you mentioned Saquon a little bit ago and leadership. Well, he was on Jason Kelsey's New Heights podcast. Let's play it for everyone. We want to get your reaction, Elliot, to this back and forth between Saquon and Jason Kelsey on New Heights.
I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm happy. I got a fresh start. I can't wait to meet everybody and just go out there and play ball.
Dude, it's going to be so fun to watch. It's going to be so fun to be a part of. It's going to be great.
You don't got to watch it, you know.
Elliot, what'd you make of it? I mean, it does. I mean, it's obviously tongue-in-cheek and having some fun there, but I mean, that you could feel it. Like, hey, I mean, why don't you just come back and play, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to be Cam Jurgens listening to that, right? Like trying to recruit him to come back. But no, so I listened to the full interview this morning, and as a side note, like Saquon came across really well. He talked about a lot of different things. But right after Saquon says that, Jason Kelce follows it up with, yeah, I'm not coming back, or right? I'm not doing that. So I think it was a funny joke. I'm sure there is, you know, as with all jokes, there's some truth to it. Like Saquon probably wishes Jason Kelce was going to be his center. And will Kelce come back? I wouldn't completely rule it out just because you see retired players change their mind. And I don't think Kelsey's above that. But, yeah, I don't think Kelce is coming back if I had to guess. And I will also say this is going to be a topic throughout the year. Like if Jurgens plays poorly, the shadow of Kelce is going to be there. So I think it helps for Kelce to be definitive in saying he's not coming back.
Yeah, and if there's an injury on the offensive line, I mean, he's right there to just call up and say, will you come back? Art Elliott, yesterday we got some new information on the Brazil game. You know, a couple weeks ago we had the Browns player Maurice Hurst say that they were going to Brazil, so we connected those dots, Art, Eagles, Browns. But yesterday, I saw you tweet this, Elliott, Mark Murphy from the Packers said, well, it's either the Packers or the Browns. Elliott, I know the game's going to be on Peacock outside of the local markets. If I'm just playing the TV game, I think it's going to be Green Bay. If you want people to sign up for Peacock, the Green Bay Packers are a national brand. The Packers and the Eagles in Brazil feels like the bigger TV game. We just watched in the playoffs last year, they put Mahomes on the Peacock game to get more subscribers. What do you think of all this?
Yeah, it's a great point. I haven't heard anyone make it, but I think there's a lot of logic in that. You know, they're going to want to put a game there that they can promote. Like Jordan Love is one of the exciting new young quarterbacks in the NFL. They had that great playoff run last year. It's a massive fan base. You know, do they want to put the Browns and Deshaun Watson in that spot? Like maybe they will. But I think ultimately, like the feeling around Orlando, at least when I was down there at the league meeting, that it's going to be the Browns. So it would be pretty surprising if it's the Packers, but I agree with you that logic is good. Either way, that's a tough first game. Like, if Eagles were hoping to get a feel-good, like, you know, get-right game to start the season, maybe the Panthers or you know, the Giants or something like that, that's not happening because the Browns are a great defense. It'll be a good test for the Eagles' offense, and the Packers are a great team. So, either way, that's a really tough game in Brazil.
All right, we're going to we'll end with this, Elliott. Opening day tomorrow, weather permitting. We need the Elliott Shore Parks Phillies win prediction total for the season.
What you got?
What do you got?
I'm going with the under. Oh, sorry. You mean a win total?
Yeah, win total. But all right, so that means in the 80s.
Yeah, I would 88, 87, something like that. Like, I see this team sustain success. The last 2 years, last year they didn't really back into the playoffs, but the year before they kind of did. They were not close to winning the division last year. Like, why am I supposed to expect this as a high 90-win team? Like, they have not been a dominant regular season team. Now, when we talk before the playoffs, then maybe my feeling will be different on what they can do. But in the regular season, like, their inconsistent lineup, and, you know, I think the back end of their pitching is not great. So I'm going to go lower than people think just because I need to see them do it before I believe it. So I'll go, yeah, 88, 89, something like that.
That's not very optimistic, though, Elliott. I mean, I'm just saying.
It's not. I apologize for that.
It's okay.
I'm just saying that's not very optimistic.
But look, you know, I will say this. They should be playing in a dome tomorrow. Like, we wouldn't have to be talking about this rain thing if the Phillies had a roof on them. So we continue to play sports outside. For what reason, I don't know. We're past being able to have the weather dictate what we do. So hopefully they play tomorrow, but we don't know what the real solution is.
Do you continue just to add ammunition to this? The Bears are probably going to have a dome. The Browns want a dome. The Bills are going to have a dome. Elliott, the it's all moving towards your side of this. I mean, I'm sure you
it's
know
this.
It's
almost like having a roof over your head's a good thing. It's almost
Elliott's
like that.
Yeah, that's a strong take today, bro. He just came in with all kinds of fire.
He's ready. Elliott, man, we appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Talk to you.
There he goes. Elliott Shore. I mean, he's been on the roof thing for a long time.
I mean, I hear him. I mean, it's still some nostalgia out there with playing outside, but, I mean, on days like this, you can't argue.
So, I don't hear him.
I'm not upset at it for baseball if it's a retractable roof, right? Then you never ever rain out. If it's nice out, you always keep it open. Football is where I draw the line. Like in a northeast or northern city,
it's a X factor.
It's part of the game. It's part of the.
It's definitely an X factor.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine if there was a roof in Green Bay? I mean, this probably.
Aren't they talking about putting a roof in Buffalo?
Buffalo, they want one. Cleveland is trying to get a new stadium with a roof, and I think the Bears one is going to happen. They're going to leave Soldier Field and build a new stadium somewhere in that area and have a roof on the stadium.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy.
I hate it.
I remember playing in Chicago when it was cold. So, yeah, that's going
to
be crazy.
Don't you want teams to be like, oh, crap, I got to go to...
X Factor.
Yeah, like Lambeau, or I got to go play in the freezing cold. Like, you know what? Like, just eliminate all that.
It adds something to the game that changes week to week.
Like, football stadiums are at a point now where, like, and I hate to say this and rain on everybody's parade a little bit, but, like, the intimidation factor with fans, I feel like isn't really a thing anymore. It's not like at the Vet where people are, like, right behind your bench screaming in your face, calling you, you know, this and that. Like, it's a little more expensive. It's more expensive to get to football games now, right?
And like, the elements become your advantage.
That's exactly right. Like, so it's not the fan intimidation. Like, nobody's really like, oh, man, going in front of those fans at Lambeau Field's tough. No, they're talking about the cold weather.
Well, then you also, like, there's different players. Like, remember the whole thing that Purdy couldn't play in rain. That,
right.
That fact, that makes it more interesting.
Right. It's
if
an element of strategy.
Everything is a dome. It's just, it's
the ultimate equalizer, the dome.
Yeah, I don't like
ain't
it.
Ain't anybody worried about it.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. All right, we got a lot to discuss here. The Sirianni thing, I think we've been overly critical of Nick Sirianni. And, you know, Elliot pushed back a little bit there, but they called him a manager yesterday. That managers, when I think of that, I think of baseball. And in baseball, yeah, we could be mad at the manager sometimes, but let's be real. The manager is not winning or losing baseball games. I think that's more of what Sirianni is. Is he a genius because they had a 31-7 stretch? No, I never thought he was. But is he the biggest reason they fell apart down the stretch? No.
He's part of the reason, though.
Part.
Yeah, and he should be criticized as part of the reason.
But he gets rightfully a lot
so.
Of the criticism.
As he should.
Who's a bigger part of the reason? Who's a bigger reason why they fell apart? Hurts or Sirianni?
To me right now, Coach Sirianni.
I would say it was Hurts.
Coach Sirianni sees, like, the coach sees what the players don't see. And if he saw Jalen Hurts struggling or his game being flawed in whatever way it is, it's his job, in my humble opinion, to steer him in the right direction and put him in a position to be more successful. Coach Reed did it with Donovan. Like, Donovan had flaws in his game, mm-hmm. but Coach Reed allowed him to thrive and be a Pro Bowl player by putting him in positions to be successful. Because as you saw, and it's unfortunate for Donovan because, you know, there's some talk about him potentially being a Hall of Famer. If Donovan would have went to the Commodores and played better, or Minnesota, there would be more of an argument for him to be a Hall of Famer.
I agree.
The fact that he went to these other places, and unfortunately for five, he didn't have that kind of success, it leads me back to the point that I'm trying to make that Coach Reed helped put Donovan in positions to be successful.
I agree with you on that. I think he did help Donovan become the best player he could be. But when the ball is snapped, Sirianni, what is he supposed to do? I mean, like, Jalen Hurts took a safety game.
You know what he's supposed to do? Jalen, you can't do that. Jalen, you know, when I call a play, you need to run the play that I call. You should have been stronger in your press conference when that happened, especially if you knew that was the case. Sometimes the best protection for your players is to throw their ass under the bus.
Yeah, but you lose them then. If you lose them, you're screwed.
Well, you know what? That's the problem with the NFL nowadays. We're coddling too many players.
I don't disagree with that.
We're coddling too many players. And if it's my job or yours, damn it, you best believe I'm going to save mine.
All right, so we have – well, he saved his job anyway. So they all saved their job except those coordinators. All right, we have the Sirianni thing and, of course, Kyle Schwarber. We had him on earlier. If you missed it, Odyssey app, rewind. You could – about 10:45, Schwarber's on the show today. Today's your last chance. Get on the record. Who should be the Phillies' leadoff hitter when Topper puts out the first lineup tomorrow? We're on a we have very few consensus around here on this show. We all see this as the right thing. It's Schwarber is the leadoff hitter.
I mean, from the numbers and everything, it does say that he should be the leadoff hitter.
And
but I
the
like
success.
The fact that people are like people get in their feels. I've never seen or heard people on the radio get in their feels so much about. Okay,
it is wild. Like, of all the things that could sink the Philly season, I feel like Kyle Schwarber leading off is very, very low on that list.
Very low.
And if anything, like, it's like, you know, we talk about the positives of him leading off, why he should lead off, but like, there's also the reasons why he shouldn't be in the four hole. Like, people ignore that.
Totally ignore it.
Why would you want all those strikeouts in the four hole? Like, when we talk about Kyle Schwarber at leadoff, we're factoring in the deficiencies that he has at the plate. And I think, like, the most optimal spot for him, for both the good and the bad reasons, is for him to be at the very top.
Yeah, he's going to strike out 200 times, no matter if he hits first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or ninth. Where do you want those strikeouts? Like, you have to be real about it. I'd rather them at the top, so, okay.
Get them out of the way.
Get out of the way, and then, okay, Turner, Harper, let's go.
Do your thing.
we got another shot to get a rally going. I think his strikeouts are a rally killer in the middle of the lineup.
Like, I want a guy who is going to make contact and put the ball in play.
Bowman Stott.
Schwarber's not that guy. Schwarber's like three true outcome guy. I want a guy who's going to put the ball in play and get my runners home. Like, Schwarber can hit a home run, and that's four runs. Yeah, but how rare is that going to be that Kyle Schwarber comes up with bases loaded and hits a grand slam? Like, we got to get real.
It's very rare. I mean, it just is. 215-592-9494. And your guesses for Hughes Clues. We got a pair of tickets here. It's a great prize. Phillies and the Braves Saturday night. First pitch, 4:05. The first late afternoon night game. Fans 15 and over receive a McDonald's opening night T-shirt. So we had an actress, and this particular actress, Kyle, had no idea.
Never heard her name.
And he should have. So it's not like a no name.
Yeah, she's played a lot of good movies.
Yeah, this is wild. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Steve in Trenton. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, Steve. What's up, pal?
So I just had to call in about the Sirianni thing. I think he totally deserves all the flack he's getting, following that collapse. And he doesn't do anything with the defense, so I'll just leave that out of it. But no, you look at the offense, there's so much talent there, and although Brian Johnson, you could say he's pulling the strings, there's just too many weird things not going right at the end of the year, and things that come down to just coaching and chemistry, because I think the team is too talented to really shift the blame on anybody else. So, yeah, that's where I stand with that.
So, they certainly are more talented than a team that loses 6 out of 7. Like, that shouldn't – I think we all agree. That shouldn't have happened. That,
no.
The collapse was ugly. I mean, it was ugly.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And then as far as the Schwarber thing, I mean, that's a layup. Schwarber should be going first. It works, and that's how it should be. I can't believe nobody has said this. I don't know if I'm out of line saying this, but – you know, it really did bother me. I forget which game it was late in the playoffs last year when there was a deep fly ball hit to right and they held him at third base. I mean, that still should never happen. And is it too much to say, could they just, again, I feel bad even saying it, but could they just get him in better shape? I mean, is that not,
so,
I don't know why nobody puts on the table.
So, Steve, from what I understand, he had a knee injury last year that he kind of just played through and he gutted through it. Now, look, he's not a speedster, right? He's never going to be a speedster.
That. You're talking about Schwarber, right?
Schwarber, yeah.
I don't think he's fat either. He's just he built like a linebacker.
Yeah, he is. He's and he was a catcher when he first was drafted. So, like, he's kind of built stocky like a lot of catchers are. I he's never going to be fast. I would hope, Steve, when he's not in the outfield this year, just DHing, I would hope he runs a little bit better than he did last year. Steve, give us a guess for Hughes Clues. What actress are we talking about?
This is more of a singer than actress, but I'm going to go on a limb here. Diana Ross?
Diana Ross. See, that's now funny. People are – that's a good guess.
Diana
Got
Ross
it.
Is an actress. I'm sorry. I said I wasn't going to do this today.
Wait a second.
I said I wasn't going to do it.
Wait a second.
Diana Ross is an actress.
It gets worse by the day.
No, I'm just
what
saying.
What are you talking
that,
about?
Because, first of all, Kyle, you shouldn't say anything because you don't know it.
Well,
have you ever seen Mahogany?
Shouldn't my opinion as someone who's not as familiar with Diana Ross more hold more weight on something like this?
No, because you're young.
I don't know her, and I only think of her as the singer.
When you
she
go to
played Diana, in Mahogany.
All you need to know.
Lady sings the blues.
No, you're overthinking it. That's your problem.
Not.
Guys, when you go to DianaRoss.com, the first thing it says is just release single. Thank you. A song.
No, she's an actress. And I'm going to go even further. She was one of my favorites growing up as a child. Her actress, her and Billy Dee Williams were the best.
Yeah, but that's like, I could say
to
that.
To love someone is nothing without someone you love to share it with. I said it wrong, but you get the gist. Lady Sings the Blue. Like, they were like the couple of the 70s. It was like Diana Ross and Billy Dee Williams.
This is one of those situations where too much information is poisoning.
I'm just trying to let you know, man. Like, anybody my age would not disagree with me.
They would.
This is crazy.
I would not think
yes,
that.
They would.
It's like me saying that Hugh Douglas is my favorite actress and then deciding.
Because I was an actor.
Yeah, but that's like.
I'm an actor.
Because I say that, people are supposed to believe you're more of an actor than a football player.
But I'm an actor.
You're not.
I'm an actor.
You were a football player and now you're a radio host.
You know what? No matter how much you try to break me down, Joe, I am not moving off of this hill. I'm an actor.
You know what comes up first on our Wikipedia? The Supremes. Not any of this acting stuff.
She was an actress.
Ike disagrees vehemently
this is
with
insanity.
You being an actor.
I need to be quiet.
This is nuts. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back at all your phone calls. We have, of course, all the Schwarber stuff, Sirianni. your chance to win Phillies tickets for Hughes Clues. And it is a What If Wednesday, so we'll throw that in the mix as well right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
If you're a caregiver in the Philadelphia or Lehigh Valley areas looking after a loved one, reach out to my friends at AmeriBest today. When you call 1-800-HOME-CARE, a live onboarding specialist will assist you in the hiring process. AmeriBest offers daily pay, performance bonuses, and reward programs and more to support their caregivers. Let AmeriBest take care of you so you can focus on what matters most, caring for your loved one. Call AmeriBest today at 1-800-HOME-CARE or visit AmeriBestHomeCare.com/.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Falls back, throws, intercepted, went right through Jeffrey's hands. It's Lattimore! Right through Alshon Jeffrey's hands, and Lattimore's second pick of the game, and the Saints looking to move on.
Oh, that was crushing. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas Show, Juliana, What If Wednesday. Hugh, the Alshon drop, 2018 Eagles, divisional round in New Orleans. A little over 2 minutes to go. They snap it before the two-minute warning. Foles throws it right to Alshon. It goes through his hands, interception, and it's over. And, Hugh, the Eagles were about to go and take the lead in that football game in New Orleans with less than 2 minutes to go. If they win, they head back to the NFC Championship game for a second straight year. It's one of those what-ifs. Every time a what-if comes up that people bring up, like, what if Alshon caught that ball and the Eagles beat the Saints and they're making their second straight run with Nick Foles as the quarterback? Hugh, I'll give you my first thought on this, what-if Wednesday. If the Eagles win that football game, Nick Foles is the Eagles quarterback in 2019. There's no way I could see the Eagles moving on from a quarterback that won the Super Bowl and then got back to at least a title game. And they may have beat the Rams the next week and got back to another Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, when you frame it that way, I can't see it being played out any other way, because you're talking about 2 years in a row when Nick Foles was that dude, man. So, yeah. But, you know, I think we're being a little bit too hard on Alshon Jeffrey. The moment was just too big for him, man.
He dropped the ball.
It was too big for him.
He won the Super Bowl the year before.
Yeah, but it was just that moment was too big for him.
Well, he's got to catch that football.
I mean, you see how crazy that sounds when I say it like that? It's kind of the same thing with Coach Sirianni.
No, it's not.
It is kind of the same.
How is coaching a team with a bad defense the same as dropping a pass that he's caught a million times?
Because the standard here in Philadelphia is so high that if you put that mediocre team out there, that's your fault, coach. You should have did a better job of coaching.
Yeah, I don't think he had the horses. But as far as Alshon goes, he dropped the ball.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was over then. All right, couple legs to this. So my first thought is if he catches the ball, they go to the title game. Foles has back-to-back title games on his resume. I think they beat the Rams the next week, and they go to back-to-back Super Bowls. And that means to me Foles is the quarterback the next year, and they're trading Carson Wentz. And could you imagine what they would have gotten for Wentz in 2018 off of – he still hadn't been paid at that point, and he was 1 year removed from an MVP-caliber season. I think they get 2-3 first-round picks for Carson Wentz at that point. That's they get a ton.
But they'll get a lot for him because, like, especially when you talk about the premium on quarterbacks in this day and age, it'll be a nice little haul, no question about it.
So they have all these extra draft picks to surround Foles with. He stays for 2019, obviously, with a contract at that point because he had gone to Jacksonville. The other element, Kyle, is does Doug Peterson survive 2020? If he's in back-to-back Super Bowls, I don't think a year and a half removed, he's out of here.
Well,
does he write the book, though?
Well, yeah, of course, right.
They won the Super Bowl.
I think he survives 2020 if it's Super Bowl championship, back to a Super Bowl, playoffs. There's no way he's gone after one tough year.
Maybe. Here's the thing.
Maybe.
Joe.
Yeah, because the consensus is that he was a little bit defiant and he was uncontrollable.
Well, no. I don't think, here's where I come down on that. I think this whole idea that the Eagles would have been so much better off had they cut bait with Wentz and just, you know, went with Foles after, you know, say he won two Super Bowls. Nobody could ask for anything better than that, back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that Nick Foles would have been a great starting quarterback for the Eagles the next year.
I mean, I agree with you on that, but they only won what? How many games with Wentz the next 2 years? Well, like 9 games?
Right, but I'm saying I'm not sure, like, how much better off they would be. Like, as though, like, everything would have been great in 2020. Like, Nick Foles had some serious lows, even as a starter here. I know we like to say that he was only great in Midnight Green. Like, Nick Foles has sucked at times. Like, he just did. And him being the starting quarterback for a full season, I'm not sure how, like, we'd all adore him for winning the Super Bowl, and it'd be different. Like, it probably wouldn't be as, you know, vitriolic, if that's even a word, at Foles as we would have been at Wentz. But, like, I just think that this whole idea that, like, oh, you know, Foles would still be here, Doug would still be here. Like, I don't necessarily subscribe to that.
Oh, I don't think that. I mean, Foles would be done. Foles done anyway.
Well, yeah, Foles done. But, like, you know, the idea that Doug's job would be saved. Like, Wentz was terrible in 2020. But, like, Nick Foles was very capable of playing just as badly.
So, but you're right. But they would have gotten a lot for Wentz, which would have set the team up in a different way.
So you're thinking about the compensation for Wentz.
No, I know they would have gotten a lot for Wentz. But, like, you can't just assume that they would have parlayed all that into great pieces.
Right, you don't know. But they could have had the pieces to draft, right? They would have got a lot of draft picks. I think Foles is the quarterback in 2019 if he gets to
the
Super Bowl.
I'm just saying I don't necessarily subscribe to the theory that, like, everything would have been just dandy and everything would have been so much better had
Maybe
Nick Foles
not.
Been the starter.
Maybe not. Yeah, I mean, and Foles might have still had his ups and downs here in 2019.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the next 1.5 years, they won, like, 13 total games at Wentz.
Hard to not get better than what Wentz gave us the following seasons. But, like, I just don't, like, I think it's that the way we talk about that's gone a little bit too far to the other side.
So the question is, if they had traded Wentz for high draft picks, what could they have used them on, right? And you look at the 2018 draft, or 2019 draft, 2018, excuse me.
A quarterback?
Quarterbacks were there, yes.
Who would you have got?
Well, in 2018, after they won the Super Bowl, there was the Josh Allen draft. The next year, Kyler Murray was there if they had traded away Wentz then. I mean, there's also Nick Bosa in that draft early on. I mean, there's some big players.
So that's where we might have been better off. Not rolling with Foles, but with
the stuff you get
Josh
for Wentz.
Allen or sure.
Right. I mean, Brian Burns was in that first round. There's a lot of good players. So it could have changed the whole thing. Do you think they win the Super Bowl if Alshon catches the ball, Kyle?
I don't... I would say yes, because the Eagles had played well against the Rams.
Yep.
That was who they would have played in the NFC Championship
game.
And
then the Pats again.
And that game was to be had for anybody. Eagles versus Patriots again. Like, man, we could have taken them.
If Foles beat Belichick and Brady twice.
Boy, he'd be the man. He went.
He already is the man.
Yeah. Let me take that back. No disrespect to Nick Foles. I don't want nobody blowing up my timeline. No, he is the man. No question about that.
Man.
But to beat him twice, he's in Eli territory. Now we're talking about Hall of Fame type stuff.
It's not that crazy.
But it would definitely
be a
conversation.
He's just the worst guy you couldn't name.
No, I'm just saying, but he would be in rarefied air.
Well, he'd have beaten Brady twice.
Yeah, that's
I prefer to put him in Ben Roethlisberger territory. Two Super Bowls, Ben Roethlisberger.
I'd be banging the table for Foles in the Hall of Fame if you did that.
Well, he already is in the Hall of Fame. Through seven touchdown passes.
Right. Yeah, some of his stuff is in the Hall of Fame. So what if Wednesday, if Alshon caught it? I always think about if Doug didn't call the play before the 2-minute warning.
Yeah,
they rushed that play.
They did rush that.
And I never understood. I guess they were trying to catch the Saints off guard.
Yeah, but like also, that's not like Alshon should have caught.
No, I know. But it just felt.
Moment was too big.
If, no, it was. Stop with that. The guy was a Super Bowl champion.
Moment was too big for him.
Have we been too critical of Alshon, Jeff?
Moment was too big for him.
I kind of think we have. Alshon helped him win a Super Bowl. And then everyone hated Alshon. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494.
On a torn rotator cuff.
I know. Big catch. Touchdown catch. Tom's in Abington. Hey, Tom.
Yo, fellas. How we doing today?
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Hugh Douglas.
Hey,
how
you doing,
are you
man?
Today?
How you doing? Make me feel, always make me feel so special.
What is Elliot talking about? Wait, we got the Eagles going out to the feared heated tundra of Green Bay?
I don't know. Tom, the idea, he wants domes on every stadium. And I'm not against a retractable roof in baseball. Then you don't have to worry about rainouts. But in football, I like the elements, Tom. Yeah, I think it makes it fun.
Let's put a dome on Elliot. all right, so I was at the full court frenzy this morning, if you guys want any updates.
Oh, yeah, so I did see, I mean, obviously we had the tiebreaker at the end, and I saw that Jack Fritz, you know, shot pretty well, but he went up against a guy that was just in his zone today.
Pat Carroll, yeah. Fritzy went 90%. He went 9 out of 10, but, you know, Pat went 10 for 10 and knocked him out. And then... the camera actually made the finals.
All right.
I'm not surprised, Tom. We went through the bracket yesterday at the end of the show. Joe's good at this. He's good
at
free throws. He did lose, but he's good at free throws. He's good at pop a shot. I'm not surprised Joe did well today.
Yeah, you know who we beat to get into the finals?
It was Brazier, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That's funny.
That doesn't
that
surprise
like
me.
A setup.
After having met Brazier for the first time.
Oh, a setup.
Right.
Yeah. Well, did they fix this for Joe to get? Now we have to open up an investigation here.
Right. So when it comes to Kyle Schwarber, Joe, you're right. He's the leadoff guy. I mean, I can't wait until he hits 280 at the beginning of this year just to shut up all these calls. I mean, it's as ridiculous as calling up right now and pandering for Derrick Henry to still be the Eagles quarter running back.
Our guy, Will.
Yeah.
But Sirianni deserves a ton of blame, Joe. Now, you keep saying that he's an offensive coach, right? And he has, like, nothing to do with the defense, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and while I agree with you that they did not have anywhere near the stable horses they needed on defense, you cannot say that about the offense.
Definitely.
They had more than enough to score on offense. I agree with you.
So that falls on Nick Sirianni, and that, to me, was the most surprising thing coming down the stretch last year was how the offense started, because the defense, you just kind of knew it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Tom, he didn't have answers. That was probably the disappointing part, that we all watched the start to fall. They were sputtering, and he and Brian Johnson, they couldn't get this thing back on track. I mean, that Bucks playoff game was ugly.
I'm starting to think that even Nick doesn't know what happened.
I think you're probably right on that, Tom. That's why Kellen Moore's here.
Nobody's talking about it.
And that's why he should be getting the heat.
Well, I do think some heat is necessary. I do think we've put a lot on there. All right, Tom, give us a guess here. Hughes Clues, who's the actress?
Okay, so an actress, someone Kyle's never heard of, and is sneaky hot. Is that what I heard?
A little bit. I didn't actually say that, but that's, if you gathered that from what I said, then yes.
Okay. All right. I don't want to misquote you, Hugh.
No, you did not misquote me.
All right. How about Jennifer Tilly?
No,
but I think Tom's on the path here a little bit here. All right, look, you know, Hugh, let's give people a third clue.
Third clue
for Hugh's Clues. We got, I mean, these are great. This is a great prize. Pair of tickets, Phillies, Braves, Saturday at 4:05. What do we got, Hugh?
I'm going to help y'all out a little bit because this guess, I think if I give you this guess, then all of my old heads will know exactly who I'm talking about. She starred in one of the most iconic horror movies ever made. Iconic.
I agree with you.
Iconic. Now, and Kyle is still over there looking like he don't know who the hell she
unlike
is.
Unlike the debate on who's an actor and who's not, this one, you nailed that.
Yeah, I nailed it with this.
Yeah, that one is, that's fact.
That's a fact.
Yeah, we got some facts in there now. Let's talk to Mick, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Mick?
Kyle doesn't know Jamie Lee Curtis.
Hey, Mick!
You come out of the, you came right out the gate
came out
with it.
Swinging, Mick. Yeah, Kyle didn't know who Jamie Lee Curtis was.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
And yo, Kyle, watch the movie True Lies.
Eh,
You should.
Yeah,
she was good in True Lies.
That was the fourth clue, by the way, was True Lies.
She dancing for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That was kind of hot, dude. No, but the one I was thinking about was she was in Trading Places. Remember she was in Trading Places?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Never saw it.
Yeah,
creepy. The way you said that, we sound like two creepy old dudes.
You kind of do, yeah. You kind of do.
I'm 63 and I'm from Florida. So. You know,
we sound like a bunch of creepy old dudes right there.
She's older.
Yeah, we're the same age, so yeah, she is. Yeah.
But Kyle acts as if she's 90. She's 65. Like, come on.
Dude, man. You're a 28-year-old. You might as well be 90.
But wait, you know.
Seriously, Kyle?
Yeah. You're talking about she's sneaky hot. Get out of here, dude.
No,
maybe
she was.
50.
Was. No, she's like, was. When she was in Trading Places and she was getting, man, listen, I don't even want to sound as creepy as I just sounded. But yeah, she was nice.
Yeah, and whatever. Whatever. Congrats, Mick.
I just can't believe Kyle. Kyle, you got to watch some Jamie Lee Curtis movies.
I'll think about it.
It's unbelievable, Mick. It really is. All right, Mick, what are you thinking on Sirianni here?
All right. Well, I got something else, too. How about that Megan Millions winner, huh?
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
So, Mick, here, how about this? So, it was, I think the cash out, if they take it, is like $550 or something million. The ticket was bought in a grocery store, like, 2 minutes down the road from where my daughter was born. That's the town my daughter was born in where that was sold. It could have been me, Mick, in a different time.
That's crazy. Mm. You know what? Your net worth is going to be right up there with that inveterate gambler Ohtani.
Yes, I guess you're right about that. I mean, Hugh, that payout, was it $537 million if they took the cash out? Man.
It'll be a stretch, but I think I can manage with that much money.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to work today. Hey, Nick Sirianni, I'm okay with keeping him. I mean, I trust Lori. His hires have been good. I'm okay with sticking with Sirianni this year because I think Howie was pushing the buttons on some of those decisions. And Howie's not going anywhere, and I think they want to just give Nick another shot.
Well, they do. I mean, that's for sure. They do. And they're good. And we'll see how he does with it here. Mick, who should it lead off for the Phillies tomorrow? Who you got?
Well, my tickets are going to Turkey from Fishtown. And I got Schwarbs leading off.
See? Mick gets it. Schwarbs leading off. Good job, Mick. Mick hits it there with the Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right out the gate.
Again, it's one thing to not know much about Jamie Lee Curtis. It's another thing to not have ever heard the name.
Yeah, that's crazy. She's been like, and she's still acting to this day. She's doing a lot of stuff with acting. So, yeah, she was in All the Time, Everything. Am I saying the movie right? Everything, Everywhere, All the Time, All at Once.
This is one title?
Yeah, because it won an Academy Award last year. It won an Oscar.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about it.
It was, I think I'm saying it wrong. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. I think that's the name. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Everything, Everywhere,
all at once. Yeah, she was in that.
I mean, you sold me, Hugh. I mean, whether or not you made it up or not, I'm not going to call. I mean, no one knows. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
How we doing, buddy?
What's going on with our boy, Kyle? Come on, Kyle.
It's pretty bad, Chris. I mean, it's like this isn't a no-name here. Come on now.
I don't give a shit.
He's being defiant now.
Yeah, Christmas with the Cranks. All right, go watch that for Christmas. Good Jamie Lee Curtis movie. Yeah, all right. Hugh, I got to talk to you.
What I do now?
You didn't do nothing, Hugh. I want to know. I got your six. Next time your boy, Ikey boy, wants to roll in there with his little puppy, Jack, and shoot at you and your athleticism and be trash-talking you, You remind Ike that you don't see his name and jersey hanging at the Eagles Stadium rafters because he's not an Eagles Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Right? Nah, I'm not going to do him like that, but he did have one. Like, I was not an athlete. I was a football player. Like Ike played other sports, and most guys that played football, like, they had the opportunity to play other sports. It was just football for me.
Yeah. Well. Listen. If I got to pick a life, if I could be a well-rounded athlete, you know, that made a Pro Bowl or two and had a good career, or a guy that's in the Hall of Fame for a team, I'm taking the Hall of Fame year. So just saying. And Jack, what is he talking about? I mean, the guy pitched like a half an inning at like Bloomsburg, and he thinks he's an athlete. So, all right.
Well, he was trying to get you missed it yesterday. He was trying to give Hugh pitching tips.
No, he did give me pitching tips,
and he said he could still throw 80. But we know that's not true, and that's a lie.
Yeah, well, ask the camera. He couldn't even get the camera out. I mean, my God, you should turn your athlete card in if you can't get the camera out. So
agreed. That's true.
Anyway, guys, let's move on to the Sirianni thing here. Dude, Nick Sirianni is just, I mean, he's a buffoon clown. I mean, he's lost. I mean, I get it. I am very disappointed in Lurie yesterday. Lurie really missed the boat on what Sirianni does. I mean, you need to talk about the importance of reshuffling and how much time it takes to reshuffle the core values, you know? I mean, that takes a lot of time and energy. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here with this guy? I mean, he's a joke. He's like the worst coach ever. Now they got to come out and defend him and like try to prop him up. I mean, if the guy didn't have the wins that he did and the team didn't have the success he did, they would have canned him, but they know would have looked bad. So they got to have him hang in there. It's so evident that he's hanging by the thread of, you know, the string here, just ready
clean
to break.
Clean it up. Clean it up.
It's tough, you. It is tough, man. Yeah. Listen. The last time I was mad about Sirianni, I made it about 3 seconds on your station because I got clipped soon. So, and I got a lecture from Kyle. He like, isn't can't have you saying those words about our coach. So I'm trying to clean it up. So let's leave that go before I get zipped for using inappropriate language on the air. Kyle Schwarber should be leadoff. That's the reason why he's a leadoff. The only people that disagree with that are totally stupid people like Howard Eskin. I mean, listen, here's the other side of it that I don't know if you guys mentioned earlier in the show or somebody has, but he helps the bottom of that lineup because that's why Rojas hit 300. That's why some of those guys have big success because it's not like a typical leadoff, hey, top of the lineup. They are terrified that there's a 40-plus home run guy coming up. So those young guys at the bottom of the lineup that hit 8-9, they get a lot better pitches because the teams don't want to pitch to Schwarber.
Well, that's an interesting point, Chris. Yeah, I mean, it certainly should. It can and I think will continue to help Rojas. And Chris, good phone call. I mean, that's true. And if you're pitching to Rojas, you're like, all right, well, am I going to throw him a lot of junk? Am I just going to challenge? I'm going to give him fastballs because I don't want to walk this guy. First of all, he can't hit much anyway. But two, I'm not going to put him on base in front of Schwarber. I think that's part of it. I'm trying to keep a tally here of all the nice things said about Nick Sirianni on the show today. Clown, buffoon.
He put himself in that situation, though. I mean, and you can't deny that, Joe. I mean, some of the
things.
But I
think it's a little strong.
It is. I give you that.
A little strong.
But you put yourself in that situation by some of your actions. Like, again, I like Coach Sirianni. I think he's a smart coach. But when you sit up there and you're asked specific questions and you give the answers that you do, you open yourself up for all of the ridicule and criticism that's levied on you.
So I think you're right on that. But I know this might be hard to kind of put your mind in this space. Let me just ask this question. If the Eagles had a different season but the same result, would people feel the same way about Nick Sirianni? And what I mean by that is they went 11-6 and lost in the first round. Or is it the way it happened?
It's the collapse.
But it's all the same.
Well, it's like this. This is for me, Coach Sirianni's timeline. He came in. And he wasn't the most eloquent speaking coach, which is fine. You know, I for one, have no problem with that. I don't. The results speak for themselves.
Yeah.
The problem is this, Joe, that this is a results-driven league. And so now when you're not winning and you're still saying that bonehead stuff that you're saying, it to some people, that relates to not taking what you're doing serious.
I get that. And
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's where the problem lies is because there's clearly a problem on this team, which we still have not parceled out what it was. And you are the architect, from your own words, of the culture of this team. You didn't even know what was going on.
You're right. And that the collapse is bad. I just look at it like this. If you had told me before the season, with the schedule they have, and you tell me, hey, Joe, the defense is really going to struggle. I mean, they're going to have pieces are signing off the street like Bradley Roby and Shaq Leonard. They're going to go 11-6 and lose in the first round. I mean, am I going to say that's egregious? Or am I going to say that sounds about right? That's what they were.
But your job as a coach, like, I think you're missing a big piece. They looked inept.
They did.
They looked it up.
But why didn't we give him credit for overachieving with the same guys to start the season? They were not a 15-2 kind of team, but he had them at 10-1.
He had a great run when they went to the Super Bowl. I'm not diminishing any of that. But at the same time, I think a good coach is able to see the flaws in his team. And it was like, to me, as a former player, you know what it felt like to me? It's like you saw the signs of this thing going off the rails, and you did nothing to change it.
Well, not enough, obviously, because it couldn't stop down the stretch. 215-592-9494. Hit all your phone calls. Who should lead off when the Phillies put out their opening lineup tomorrow? And have we been too critical of Nick Sirianni? Plus, you know what time it's for. A daily mock at 1 o'clock. We'll hit it next right here on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.